Oh, I was sitting there, and you know, I told my wife the other day, I said, the only place I'm called Tommy is here, or whenever she calls me Tommy, up there. So you come home, and now you're back to being Tommy again, and you get all nervous all over again. You get up and preach every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you know, and when you're at your home place, you get a little bit more confidence, and then you go back, and it's like your first or second message all over again. But it is good to see everyone this morning. It is an honor to be able to be with you, and I appreciate Brother Richardson asking me to preach this morning. You know, you look back as we were staying in the prophet's chambers in the gymnasium. I was looking and at the ceiling, and I remember when me and Brother Richardson were in there and we got started and trying to figure out how we're going to go down the side and with the slope, and we figured it out, and we ended up staying all night to get it all taken care of, and just different things that you look back and you remember. And I appreciate the fact that you guys have not forgotten that I preached a 17 or 19 point message once. And you know, that's it. Oh, you know, just don't forget. Thank God for that, amen. But you know, it was a learning time. You learn from those things. You learn. You don't get up and tell anybody you're preaching 17 points ever again. I learned that. You know, anywhere from 3 to 5 points is where you cut it. However many sub points you want, that's fine. But just don't have too many main points, amen. And another thing, I remember Brother Mike Yarbrough. One time I was preaching And I don't know, this thought came to my mind. Brother Richardson was gone on vacation, so I was preaching, and boy, getting involved in church and how the men have an important job and the women have an important job. And I remember, and I was preaching how Moses would hold up his hands and they were winning, and his arms would go down and they were losing, hands up, winning, down, losing. And I said, and see, that's why we need both men and women in the church. You had Aaron under one arm and you had her under the other. Amen. I preached it. You know, the men and women getting involved. Afterwards, Brother Mike came up to me and he told me, he said, Brother Tommy, you know, I'd never say anything to hurt you or to discourage you. And he said, but look at, you know, let's look at that. And I turned back and I was looking at that. And he said, look, how is that spelled? H-U-R. Instead of H-E-R. And you learn. Amen. I was never so embarrassed in my life. And I think, you know, I thought, well, Brother Mike's the only one that came up and told me that, so maybe he's the only one that caught it. I don't know. But anyway, it is good to be with you. So many faces that I'm recognizing, and you know, don't leave without saying hello to me, because I haven't been able to get around to everybody, but glad to see everyone this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. I want to begin reading in verse number 26. In fact, let's read verse number 25 as well. Isaiah chapter number 40, and beginning in verse number 25, the Bible says, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to preach your word one more time on this side of eternity. Thank you for being able to see our family this week and being able to see our friends and church family again, be able to revisit the memories and things in the past. But Lord, as we look into thy word, I know you have something for us today, and I pray that you'd speak to us. Whatever the needs might be, if there's one that's hurting and needs encouragement, I pray that you'd give that. If there's one that, Lord, might even need salvation today, God, we pray that your will would be done. And so, Lord, just use me as a vessel of honor this morning to say exactly what you'd have me to say. And, Lord, guard my lips that I might not say what I shouldn't. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as you read these verses, you look down and verse number 30 is kind of what caught my eye is in looking at this. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now you look at strength, and because the Bible talks about renewing your strength in verse number 31. But you look at that and you picture the people, you picture a society. And the ones that you think, boy, they have the energy, they have the vigor, they're going to be able to carry on, and I tell you what, they're going to run and not get weary, they're going to walk and not faint. Well, you look at the youth. You know, we were watching the Olympic trials, and watching some of the swimming and some of the running, and some of those, whenever they mentioned their age, I'm thinking, wow, that's only 1 or 2 years younger than me, and well, I couldn't do that. But yet, I'm looking at them, and they're out there, and I find myself pulling for them, you know, the older ones. Man, I want them to get out there and make the Olympic team, you know, show these younger people that they don't. But you know, whenever they got to running, they did well. But something about those younger legs, those younger arms, boy, they edged them out. And you know, when you look at that and you think in our mind the picture, my nephew Jeffrey this week, you know, I mean, to have half of his energy. My daughter said he moves even in his sleep. To have that. But you know, the Bible says here that even those are going to fall. Even those are going to become weary. You know, there comes a time in all of our lives where discouragement is there. There comes a time in all of our lives where the stress and the worries of this world come down upon us. And it's not just out in the world, my friends. Even in the work of the Lord, it gets like that. The Bible says not to become weary in what? Well-doing. Even the ministry. After a great victory, Elijah. Boy, what a wonderful work he did. To see the power of God demonstrated as he did. He even came to a point whenever he said, Lord, that's enough. I don't know if I can make it anymore. So even the young, the Bible says, the strong, that they too are going to fall. But then he gets down into verse number 1. He says, but they. I'm glad there's an exception to that. You know, as the Lord is speaking, he's saying, yes, you will get weary. Yes, you will get tired. Yes, you will fall unless you wait upon the Lord. You know, the Bible says we can do all things. In the world of the mind of the world has that. We can do all things, and then they stop. Well, we can do it. There's nothing that we can't overcome. There's nothing that we... I mean, they're thinking in science eventually will make it where people will live 300-400 years. That we're going to find cures for this and that. I mean, they have this... Even the movies out of Hollywood show that no matter how big the catastrophe, the willpower of man can see you through it. Well, my friends, that's incorrect. Because the Bible doesn't just say, I can do all things. It goes on to say, through Christ. You know, Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he told them that we were at one time we were alienated, that we were outcasts, that we were undone. But then he says, but now you are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. And so, my friends, as we look at this, we can see that sometimes it gets, or we can become weary, and sometimes we can become discouraged. But there's no need for that if we as Christians would just wait upon the Lord. We know that all things work together for good, right? We know that. Now, it's hard. It's hard when you're going through a tough time to be able to say, oh, I can't wait to see what God's teaching me through this. It's hard. Now, as you look back, you're able to say, I thank God for what He taught me down the road. I mean, there's things we all would like to go back and change, you know, mistakes that we've made or this or that. But you know what? Even in, I would not have, you know, I'd like to go back and not make the mistakes. But you know, sometimes we say, if I could go back now, knowing what I know now, we would do things differently. But my friends, listen, if we did not go through what we did, we would not be who we are today. The trials of yesterday make us who we are today. The tough times that we go through, I can honestly say there was 5 years ago that we were here, Brother Richardson and you guys showed us kindness and showed us love. There was a time when Carrie and I, we laid in our bed and our eyes looking up at the ceiling and we were just talking and wondering, what's God doing? Is He done with us? But my friends, when you wait upon the Lord, God eventually shows you why you went through what you went through. Why He took you through the places that He took you through. David wrote, yea, though I walk, where? Through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I will fear no evil. And there's a reason. He said, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then he gets to the end of the chapter and he writes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My friends, the thing is this. We can become weary, but we need to wait upon the Lord because He's watching over us. In Isaiah, He's talking about that. Here, in fact, back in verse number 9, He says in the latter part of that, Isaiah says to the people there in Israel and in Judah, He says, behold your God. And He says in verse number 9 that He is a God that has a strong hand and a strong arm. He says in verse number 11 that He feeds the flock like a shepherd. In verse number 3, He says that He measures out the waters in the hollow of His hand. In verse number 13, He tells us, and in verse number 14, that there's nothing that He doesn't know about, that there's nothing that we've taught Him, that He is all-knowing. In verse number 5, He says in the latter part, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. I mean, my friends, nothing is too large for God to take care of. And Isaiah is speaking there and he's talking about an almighty God, a strong God, a powerful God. But my friends, listen to me. Even though we know He is all-powerful, even though we know He's almighty, He's omniscient, omnipresent, we know all of that. But when we think of a God like that, sometimes we think that He is beyond our reach. Sometimes we think that He is beyond our grasp. We become like some of the people in the New Testament. We know He can, we just wonder if He will. We know God can do all things, but we wonder what He's going to do for us. That one man, he asked the Lord, or the Lord asked him, He said, do you believe? And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. But He said, but help thou mine unbelief. What was it? Basically what I just said. Lord, I know you can. I just don't know if you will. And so when you think of an almighty God, that's sometimes that's the picture that we get, is that he's too far out of our reach. But my friends, listen, he's more than just an almighty God that did measure the waters and the oceans with the palm of his hand, that does know all things, just like Isaiah was talking about. But he's also a personal God. And he talks about that in verse number 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? He's asking me, he said, what do you think of me? What do you think I'm able to do? What is your opinion of me? And then we're going to see here in verse number 26 some reasons why we need to wait upon the Lord. Some reasons why we need to wait upon the Lord. Number one, look there, verse number 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their hosts by numbers. He calleth them all by what? Names. By the gestures of his, or by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. My friends, listen to me. We need to wait upon Him because He knows us all by name. He knows every one of us. He knows the saved and He knows the lost. He knows us all by name. Now, of course, we know that not all names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I hope that your name is there. I hope whenever that you exit this world, that heaven is your home. I hope you have that assurance. If you do not have that assurance, then listen, I would not leave these doors before I got that settled. I don't care what you might be going through. I don't care what might be happening in your life. My friends, listen to me. When I say this with all humility. There's nothing in this world worth going to hell over. There's nothing. Well, I have goals. Well, I have aspirations. Well, I want to do this before I get saved. And I want to do this. And I want to accomplish this. My friends, listen to me. Nothing that this world has to offer is worth going to hell over. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So if you don't have that settled, get it settled today. But if you do have it settled, listen to me. He knows us by name. That's a personal Savior. He knows the hairs on top of our head. The Bible talks about if He knows if a sparrow falls to the ground and He cares about that sparrow, how much more does He care about us? I mean, we are the height of His creation. Whenever God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were conversing in heaven, they said, let us make man in our image. He knows us by name. I can't fathom that though. Again, that almost kind of goes back into the how almighty. I can't imagine how powerful God is. To speak in this world is in existence. Who knew me according to the Scriptures before the foundations of this world? But my friends, listen to me. Why must we wait upon the Lord? Why? It's because, first of all, He knows you by name. Not only that, but look at verse number 27. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. You know what they were talking about? They were saying, you know, God doesn't really know what I'm doing. He's not watching. I can get away with this. And the world has that philosophy, that idea. But my friends, we need to realize that not only do we wait on the Lord because He knows us by name, but we need to wait on Him because He knows what we're doing. He knows everything about us. We might think, oh, well, He doesn't realize, you know, God doesn't see me. You know, there's things that our parents might not know about us, our friends might not know about us, but there's nothing that's hidden from the Lord. We're over, and, you know, me and my brother, you know, the last several years and stuff, it seems like when we do get together as family, there's a little bit more here and there that we tend to admit to mom and dad that we did. Realizing that, you know, hopefully, you know, if dad goes gets the belt, I now can get in my car and go home. There was a time whenever he got the belt and I couldn't do that. But now, I don't know, we kind of admit to some things that we might have done when we were younger. We were able to hide that from mom and dad, but we are not able to hide from our God. And he knows exactly what we're doing. And then that kind of leads into the next thing that goes down into verse number 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Listen, God is always, and I repeat, always ready to help me in my time of need. Not only does He know what I am doing, but He knows what I am going through. And in that, He is always ready to help me. It doesn't matter what kind of physical needs you're going through, financial, spiritual, whatever. God can take care of all those things. You know, Brother Richardson mentioned as what he says, the older I get when we are singing that song, the more God has done for us. My friends, I remember as a child hearing that when God told Moses to tell them that His name, I am doing and what I am going through, but He is always ready to help me in my time of need. And in addition to that, listen, it says there that in the latter part, He says there is no searching of His what? Understanding. You might try to find the borders. You might try to find, you know, whenever Lewis and Clark were trying to find the edge of the continent there, you know, trying to find the Pacific Ocean. Well, they eventually came to it. But my friends, you can search and search and search for the ends of God's understanding, and you will never find it because He cares more for us than we'll ever imagine. And let me put it like this. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need, but He understands. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, the songwriter wrote. He knows what we're going through. The heartache. Listen, there's times that Brother Richardson, as a pastor, there's times myself, I was with a family just the other day at the hospital, and I'm standing beside them, and they shook my hand and they hugged my neck, and I just told them, I said, I don't know what to say. And they, in tears, they said, "Preach, you don't have to say anything." I wanted to be able to give words of encouragement. I wanted to be able to help them in what they were going through. But I did not know how to express myself. But listen, God always knows how. He understands. You know, I don't believe as pastors that we have to go through everything that our congregation goes through in order to be sympathetic. I believe God does give us in our hearts a feeling for them, a true desire of wanting to help our sheep, of wanting to be there for them. But there are some times that what a person might be going through, I can't grasp the depth of that. But I'm glad that He knows. He was in all points tempted such as we are, yet without sin. There's nothing that He has not endured. If a person was to say, "God, You don't understand, but I'm hungry," He can say, "Oh, yes, I do. But God, You don't understand what I am going through. Why have You forsaken me?" And God's there, and He say, "No, I haven't. I understand." So many times we may think that God has forsaken us and God has forgotten about us, but He is always there. I like to think of it along this line. It's like teaching your children to ride the bike. You're holding that seat and you're with them and you're behind them so they can't really see you, which is pretty good because sometimes whenever you let go and you realize, hey, that they're doing it, they might not know it. But you've let go and they're balancing and they're there. But then something happens and the wheel starts to tremble and then you reach out and you grab that seat real quick. My friends, listen to me. You might be going down a hill right now and it might be wobbling, but He's right there ready to grab the seat if you just wait on Him. If you just wait on Him. Now, if you put the cart before the horse, my friend, then you've messed it up. Listen, there are a lot of things in my life that I've endured simply because I took it into my own hands instead of allowing God to take it and handle the situation. Whenever I've put the cart before the horse, whenever I've thought, well, I can do this, there's been times whenever I've acted upon certain things and thinking, you know, God, I don't know what's happening, but something's got to be done. And then I just make a bigger mess of things. But we just have to have patience. I know sometimes, you know, we talk about not praying for patience. But listen, I've been in a situation before in my life when, you know, because we know tribulation worketh patience. I believe you mentioned that on Wednesday night. We don't want to pray for patience because we know tribulation. But there's been times in my life when I thought it can't get any worse, so I've got to pray for patience. And yet God is always faithful. He's always there to pick us up, to help us in our time of need. And so, He knows me by my name. He knows what I'm doing. He knows what I have need of, what I'm thinking or going through. He knows that. Now in verse number 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. We need to wait on Him because He'll give us the strength that we need. Remember David? I love David. David's my, in the Old Testament, he's my favorite character. New Testament, I love Peter because I see how God can use Peter. In spite of his mistakes, God still used him, and that's why I like Peter. But in the Old Testament, I love David. Don't like all the mistakes that he made and different things, but I do like the fact that whenever he went to battle against Goliath, he realized where his strength came from. He realized where his power came from. Saul's trying to put all of this armor on him, trying to put all of the things to protect him when he's going to battle in his own power. But he said, the same God that delivered the lion and the same God that delivered the bear will be the same God that will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. The same God. And my friends, listen, we need to remember where our power comes from. Just wait on the Lord. And as I mean wait, too, we all understand that wait is not... Well, anytime, Lord. I'm waiting, Lord. That's not what God is referring to. That word wait there means to gather. That word wait there has the idea that we are working for the Lord, that we are being faithful. My friends, as you are faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. The principle is this: as a man soweth, what? That shall he also reap. And my friends, when we are working and we're faithful to the Lord, you know that God will be faithful to you. We need to wait on Him. We need to be busy serving Him. But you keep on keeping on doing what God told you to do, and He will make a way. And then I like the last part. He gets down into verse number 31. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The thing is this: why do we need to wait on the Lord? Number one, because He knows me by my name. Number two, He knows what I'm going through. He's always ready to help me in my time of need. He understands what I'm thinking, what I'm going through, what I'm hoping for. He knows that. He also gives me power when I'm weak. But I like, of all of them, I think I like this one the best. He gives me the ability to soar with the eagles. My friends, no matter what you might be going through, the Lord said, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. He loves us. You know, there ought to come a time in our lives. I know our first instinct within our flesh is when things go bad, we start to worry, we start to fret. But countless times in the book of Psalms alone, you can read where He says to fret not and to fear not. Even Jesus told His disciples, be not afraid. My friends, even though the cares of this world are there upon us and everything is taking place, when we rely upon God, just like in verse number 26, lift up your eyes on high. When we do that, God will help us soar above the cares of this world. I mean, you say, well, preacher, what you mean, just ignore them? No. It's having that confidence that even though I'm in a battle, even though I'm in a struggle right now, I do not have to be afraid because I know my God will deliver me. You say, well, brother, but you don't know what I'm going through, but He does. You don't know what's taking place, but He does. Well, I don't see how He's going to deliver me. Well, you know what? The Hebrew children, they had two options. Right? When that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had two options. They were either going to, God was either going to work a miracle and they were going to survive, or they were going to perish in the flame. But they in their heart knew either way that they were going to be delivered. They knew that. Now, I'm not saying that you know, I hope that you don't think in your life that the only option is death. You know, the only way things can get better would be to die. But what I'm saying is this. No matter how dark it might get, God can and will make a way if we wait upon Him. He will. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned about that. What we do need to be concerned about is that whatever we do, whatever we say, however we live, brings glory and honor unto God. Because that's what matters. I know that I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven. If I was to die right now, there's no doubt where I would be. But I would also hope that in my life that I lived it in such a way that I influence people to turn to God and not turn away from God. And we need to wait upon the Lord. He knows what we're going through. He knows all those things. And we need to be willing to. And that's why Isaiah, he gave the things that talk about how great God is. Yes, and hallelujah for all of that. But Isaiah also said, but look at what He does for us personally. What He does for you and I as individuals. I want to ask you this morning, what are you going through in life? Is there a struggle? Is there a care? Is there a concern? Turn it over to the Lord. Let Him take care of it. Maybe this morning you do not have the assurance of your salvation. Get it settled. Get it taken care of this morning. Get it taken care of. Because then you'll be able to keep your eyes upon the Lord and don't have to worry about whatever might happen. Just like Job said, though the earth or these earthworms might destroy my flesh, he said, I know I'm going to see my Lord. Paul wrote, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Have that assurance today. But not only have that assurance about going to heaven, but realize that on our journey through this land, that He is a God that cares for us and He'll take care of you. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm Brother Richardson.